Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Still at it, John.
And he's still here, 15 minutes, and he's hanging in there. God love you, Otto. Otto brought up a great question in reference to the kinship program versus actually foster care.
Right.
And what is the difference, and how do you go forward? And if you don't mind addressing that, because it is a good
sure.
one.
Sure. Those who are in foster care, you know, those foster parents have no relationship to those children. They're, quote unquote, strangers. Whereas kinship foster, that means they're working with the Department of Social Services. They might be receiving a subsidy from social, that's monthly money that they're getting. But they have a relationship with the child. So say, for example, a child has been removed from the home and Department of Social Services is involved. They're going to get a list from the biological parents of who would you like your child to be with. Could be mom. So we're calling up the child's grandma. And, you know, think of it as on the caregiver's aspect of it is they're getting this call. They may not even know what's going on. And you're getting a call from this caseworker saying, hey, I have your grandson here. Would you be willing to take him in? If you don't take him in, he's going to go into the foster care system. And just so you know, if he stays in the foster care system and he's freed for adoption, you may not see that child again. And so that grandparent might have been planning for retirement. Maybe they were going to move to Florida or somewhere sunny. And now all of a sudden their whole life got changed because that's my family. That's my blood. I want to bring that child into my home.
That's very interesting. I didn't realize, first of all, foster care went into adoption, but mm-hmm. obviously it makes sense because
yes.
if there's nobody watching
the child.
I didn't
understand that either. In other words, if somebody, a child, is
yes.
in the foster care system, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that they are now also somebody who could be adopted?
Could be.
Is there an option in that, or?
For the first 6 to 12 months, Department of Social Services is going to be working with the parents to help get them reunited with those children. So they might do parenting classes and whatnot. And the kinship caregivers are involved in that as well. You know, that's their son or daughter that they're talking to, trying to help encourage them to get your kids back, if
right.
possible.
Right, right.
But that, if they're not able to keep working towards that, you know, their rights might be terminated and a judge is involved. There are several court hearings.
So that's the social worker saying, guess what? This is not
right.
going to work.
Right.
You're not ever going to be qualified to raise these children.
You know, there's several people. There's a social worker. There is the guardian ad litem. That's the child's guardian attorney. Sorry.
Okay.
The child's attorney. There might be an attorney involved with the kinship caregivers. The parents might have it. And then there's a big team of people working towards this step, whichever path it's going to go down.
Right, right. That's amazing.
You know, I remember when my wife and I were going to travel. Between the two of us, we had 6 children. And every time we were going to go somewhere, we would have to rethink what was in our will about,
mm-hmm.
God forbid something happens.
Right.
Who's going to take care of these 6 kids between the ages at that time of
mm-hmm.
6 and 11?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's going to take that load on?
Right.
And it's not quite like this, but
no.
it's sort of like if we didn't think about that ahead of time, you would wind up with a kinship situation. So there's probably, you know, certain situations where if people are out there and they have scenarios that they're aware of, they ought to be thinking about, well, what would they prefer,
mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to be put into the children put into a situation where they really have no say in the matter.
Right.
But that's my point. And I think that, not my point, I didn't make it, Jeff. You have that where there was a lot of forethought before you went traveling, et cetera. But some of these children, there is no forethought.
Absolutely.
Some of them are actually probably taken by police.
Yes.
Because it's not, and this sounds terrible, it's not a loving situation that you and Bernard that
right.
created for your children. It's a situation where the woman says, I can't be a parent.
It's very traumatic.
It's unfortunate,
mm-hmm.
but she can't be, and that's all there is to it. And the father may not be even in the picture.
Right.
That's what we're stepping
Would you
into.
Say most of the people are in that category, you know, where...
You know, a lot of the families that I've come across, either their parents are incarcerated
right.
Or they're deceased, or they are working with the DSS, the Department of Social Services, trying to work towards reunification if possible. You don't get a lot of involuntary, you know, voluntary
right,
type
right, right.
situations, not to say that it doesn't happen.
But I think what the nicest thing, which is really just sunk in, is the effort to keep the child within a familial situation.
Correct.
Not throwing him out. I think I would be a good foster parent, but that's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
Let him be the uncle or an aunt who is in the neighborhood.
Stay in the family.
That when it's a cousin's day, I'm not in New Jersey. The boy will never see his cousins again because right. he doesn't even know who they are.
Right.
In this regard, you know.
I think it's a very difficult situation to be a call him kinship parent because the child could have anger. The child could have had problems to begin with because of the upbringing that had been part of their life
mm-hmm. right.
up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an area where you would provide support, you know, the parenting part of it, and
mm-hmm.
what, how do we handle this kid who's really mad or angry, mm-hmm. you know?
You know, and I've come across that many times with our caregivers. You know, their young ones, the 2- or 3-year-olds, or even the teenagers, are really struggling behavioral-wise. They've been through so much throughout their early childhood that they're trying to figure out how to deal with it. We do an assessment with the children once we kind of get to know them. We're going to do it on day one. We're going to build a little bit of rapport with them first. So they feel comfortable to sit with us, and we kind of figure out how many traumas have you had throughout your life. If you're a high-risk trauma, we're going to try and help you help the caregivers find a community resource that might be available to them, such as weekly therapy. Those are partnerships that we're trying to build within the community. So we have a really good idea of, yes, this service is going to be great for you.
Right.
We also work with the caregivers because they've got some emotions about it too. You know, they might be very frustrated with what is going on, and one, how their life has completely been flip-flopped, and two, maybe they're dealing with a biological parent and it might not be the nicest interactions that right. they're having amongst them. But yeah, we're going to work with them. We're going to sit down. And as I said earlier, that support group that we have, it's biweekly, both in Nassau and Suffolk County. And we utilize a curriculum called Parenting the Second Time Around, because I believe, as you said earlier, you know, could be a grandparent
right,
and you've already
right.
raised your kids and you're done. And things are very different from when you probably raised your kids to today, and how we deal with discipline and behaviors and the services that are available. And so we do utilize that curriculum to help teach a little bit of those parenting skills. But at the same time, let's talk about what's going on and provide you as much support as we can.
It sounds like there's a little bit of a connection here, like with the Project Independence, but for a different world. You're basically maybe not doing some of these things, but you are facilitating
yes.
and hooking them up with people, which you never would be able to find
right.
If you were just dialing, looking through the yellow pages, which
right.
shows my age. But I don't think they make yellow pages anymore.
And but they stopped doing smoke signals too, Otto.
Yeah, right.
But it can be, like you said, it can be very overwhelming just to Google a whole bunch of resources and do I qualify for this one? Do I not qualify for this one? Does this pertain to me? Does this not pertain to me? And so we've built up those partnerships and relationships throughout Long Island.
Right.
And
that's tremendous.
Let's get you into this service.
I have a question, and you don't have to answer this one.
Okay.
No, seriously. So if you have a situation where a child is at risk, so to speak, or, you know, or abandoned, whatever the situation is, do you then attempt to make a kinship connection from the point of view trying to talk a person, say, oh, this would be a nice thing, you should try to take them, or that's really not your job?
We're not really involved in that. You know,
okay.
that by the time they come to me or find me, they've already brought in the children into their
okay.
home.
Okay,
yeah.
okay.
Department of Social Services is usually the one that kind
They'll
of calls.
They'll deal with that part
yeah,
of it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then if the person is technically under a foster system in a kinship situation, that's when they get referred to you, but it's already been set up?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How long has this program been in existence?
Great question. We actually, LTI, got a grant in September of 2015. And
okay.
so we're in our first year of the grant, and we're expanding and growing, and it's becoming a beautiful thing.
I imagine you have a fair number of success stories already.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Quite a few of them.
That's it, because the people who you help through these things, the caregiver and the children,
right.
As time marches on, should and would probably be big supporters of the program.
Right.
Right.
You know,
no, I think this is it's an amazing program. It really is.
It is.
You know, when you're looking at
very
it.
Very happy to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because in some cases, too, you're going to have, it doesn't have to just be one children. That's
right.
One child that's put out of a house. It's a couple of children.
Some with four grandchildren in their home.
Really?
Yeah.
So, and they're all in the one house?
All in the one house, yes.
Wow, mm-hmm. God bless them. I mean, think about it. At this point in time, to take that on.
It's a lot.
Yeah, but it just, I mean, that person deserves all the credit. And then when they have a support system like you guys behind it,
right.
It can work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's at the end of the day, if you can't keep the family together somehow, I mean, you know, children coming across to cousins, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that really is the goal, and that's part of the goal of our program, too, is permanency. You know, we want to make sure that child is safe and comfortable, and the caregiver as well, that you feel like you can handle this. And if you can't, we're going to help you find those services. But we also visit them on a monthly basis. And it's very different, say, when the Department of Social Services, if they're involved in their case, visits them on a monthly basis. We come in, we sit down, we chat. How's it going? You know, it's more of a casual, let's talk about how things are going. And sometimes they love it. You know, it's their time to sit down and just talk and have someone hear their side of it.
That's tremendous.
I have some friends. I have two friends, actually.
Christina and John. Okay, when you leave here this afternoon, who do you
right. No, but I do have a friend and his wife, both, who do not live in this area. But we just had lunch with them the other day. And their situation is their daughter had drug problems, abuse problems.
Mm-hmm.
Substance abuse problems, and ended up having a baby, and now lives with grandma and grandpa.
Right.
And grandma and grandpa now have their life in complete upheaval,
right.
Because their daughter has other problems. She's depressed, and as we talk about it, they're both now on their payroll, you know, the baby and the daughter. And that's the kind of situation. I don't know if that classifies as a kinship
Absolutely.
Situation. Yeah. I mean, in other words, the child who had the baby actually still is connected and lives in the same home as the mother and the father, as the would be now the grandparents.
There is a criteria for our program that the biological parent cannot live with the kinship family.
Oh, okay.
You know,
There
are situations, say, if that biological parent lives with that kinship family and they're very much not able to take care of them, maybe they have a mental illness or they have some sort of disability, that they cannot take care of that child, that will then consider serving them.
That's almost good for another program.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the truth, though, because it makes sense. Oh, we're out of time, actually, because you want to have that separation almost,
yes.
Which is very, very important. What we have to do now is say thank you.
Thank you very much for
having me.
This
really was a tremendous program. I urge anybody with a question to call 516-483-3400, extension 22, and ask for Lindsay, because she will put you in the right direction. And as this program grows, and I'm sure it will,
yes.
I want you to come back and tell
you
us more about it.
You got it. I'll be here.
You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.